Morning in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, again, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we remember and thank God for those who have laid down their lives for us and sacrificed their lives so that we might enjoy the blessings and freedoms that we do as Americans today. But it's also, I think, appropriate that on Memorial Day weekend that we also acknowledge that every Sunday we gather to remember and to rejoice in the living Lord Jesus who came to this earth, lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, sat down at the Father's right hand where He ever lives to make intercession for us as our high priest. And as we noted last week in 1 John chapter 2, where He continues to minister there for us as our advocate even when we sin and fall short of the glory of God. Thank God for the efficient, sufficient, finished work of Christ Jesus for us on the cross of Calvary. He was the propitiation for our sin. It's because of His sacrifice and our repentance and faith and trust in Him that we are saved, and that is that great work that keeps us saved as the children of God. And so this morning, as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, to do what Jesus said as recorded in Luke's Gospel, He said, "As you, when you eat this bread, when you drink this cup, this do you in remembrance of Me." So this morning we are preparing and getting ready to observe the Lord's Supper together, to remember the sacrifice that was given for us on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, as we prepare our hearts to do that, I want us to think just a little bit about the message of the meal and how Jesus proclaimed Himself in John's Gospel, chapter 6, as the bread of lives. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice, Father, in the great and glorious privilege that we have to come together and worship You as Your people. And Lord, we're so thankful for the blessing and of God that, Lord, You sovereignly allowed us to be born into a country where we have the freedom to worship You. Thank You for our parents and grandparents who have raised us in the nurture and admonition of God. And thank You for the privilege that we can gather to worship You this Sunday morning without fear, Lord. And Lord, to know that You're sovereign and You're in control. And Father, thank You for what You accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. Truly, Lord, You are the bread of life. Lord, help us to rejoice in that glorious truth as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Your sacrifice for us through Your Son on the cross of Calvary. But Lord, we also ask that if there's one present here this morning who truly has never trusted in You as Lord and Savior, that Lord, today would be the glorious day that they would receive the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven, to the salvation of their souls. And Lord, we'll be careful to give You the praise and honor and glory for what You accomplish here this morning. God, as always, I ask You to hide me behind the cross, fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, free me to preach what thus saith the Word of God with clarity and compassion and courage. And Lord, as always, we'll just thank You for what You do, because Lord, we know Your Word will never return void. It always accomplishes what You send it forth to do. And we thank You for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother David read a pretty significant portion of John chapter 6 this morning, and we don't have the time to look at that great chapter in its entirety. I'm going to try and summarize it and survey it briefly this morning. We're going to use and look at some of those verses that he read for us today. But I would encourage you today or in the coming week in your quiet time, maybe just spend a time there in reading John chapter 6 and thinking about the glorious truths that are found there and seen there in the text. John chapter 6 began with a great miracle where Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children there, a miraculous meal. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples found, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it out. And you remember the story, there were 12 baskets of leftovers taken up that day. It was a miraculous meal. And then John goes on to tell us how the people were dismissed. The disciples got in a boat. Jesus went away by himself. And later that night, the storm, Jesus walked to them on the water. The ship was safely arrived at the other shore. Then the next day, the people come back. They had seen the disciples leaving in a boat, but they didn't see Jesus with them. They began to search. They got in ships, crossed the Sea of Galilee. There they found Jesus with his disciples. The first question they asked him was, "How did you get here?" And yet Jesus' response, he didn't say anything about walking on the water to get there. He simply called attention to the fact, "The reason you're seeking me is because I fed you a great meal and you have come looking again for a meal when what you are in desperate need of is what only I can give you, and that is eternal life, salvation." And so in verses 22 through 59 of this chapter, he preaches the message. The title of his message is "The Bread of Life." And the main and only point of his message is, "I am the bread of life." You see, he acknowledges, they had acknowledged because of this great miracle, they begin to say, "Oh, this is the one, this is the prophet that Moses has said would come. He, like Moses, Moses fed the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna, and he is the Messiah. He is going to feed us and to take care of us." And Jesus, in this message, he confronts their misunderstanding and deals with some of their misperceptions. First of all, he had to remind them that it wasn't Moses that provided manna in the wilderness. It was God who provided manna for them. God who had provided that bread that their fathers fed on. But he also had to remind them of another truth. That manna was a physical bread that only had a temporary effect. It provided the sustenance they needed, but it did not provide eternal life. And so, therefore, he called attention to the fact they ate the manna, but they're dead. And so the message that he wants them to understand is that now God has sent the bread of life, the bread from heaven, the bread that once you eat of it, you will have eternal life. You will never die. And so Jesus said in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. If any man comes to me, he'll never hunger. If any man believes in me, he will never thirst again. I am the bread of life." Now, of course, the crowd, they responded, "Oh, well, we want that bread. Give us that bread that's going to enable us to live forever. What work must we do to receive that bread?" And Jesus, in response to their questions and to their asking of them, he simply tells them, "There's no work. You just come and you believe. You receive. I am the bread of life. And in verses 51 through 58, as Brother David read them just a few minutes ago, Jesus, master preacher and teacher, he uses one of the great simple things in life, like eating bread and drinking, and uses that to illustrate the glorious truth of the gospel. Look what he said in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see what Jesus is saying? I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. And the bread that I give that you must receive is my flesh. Of course, we know he's talking about his future sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He will give his life as the substitute and sacrifice for the sinner. You see, again, we must be reminded, folks, the life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus within his body, that perfect and sinless life would condemn us forever in our sin. But it was because Jesus gave his life, because he shed his blood as our substitute and sacrifice, taking the penalty of our sin, the condemnation and the wrath and the judgment of God for our sins, that we can be forgiven of sin, that we can receive the righteousness of Christ, that we can be saved. And so Jesus is simply proclaiming that the work that has to be done is what I'm going to do. I am going to give my life as a sacrifice and substitute. And therefore, it will be my flesh. It will be me. In other words, the manna is the Messiah. I am the bread of life. It was really a simple truth. And he went on to explain it and to illustrate it to them. Just a simple truth, like how you have to eat food and drink to maintain physical life, even though its effects are temporary. And so he's simply illustrating the truth. You have to believe in me. You have to receive me in faith to be saved. Look what he said in verse 52 through verse 56. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. And that word means listen. Pay attention now, truly. Just listen to what I am trying to teach you. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It was just simple saving truth. Just like you have to eat a meal to maintain life, you have to receive the bread of life to have eternal life. They begin to argue, they begin to murmur, they begin to strive over this message that he's proclaiming. What does he mean? How can we eat his flesh or drink his blood? He's saying that we have to do that. And many have taken that and have come to a belief and conviction that the Lord's Supper, it actually becomes the flesh of Christ and the blood of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to understand that the Lord's Supper had not even been instituted at this time. And that was not what Jesus was saying. It is not eating bread and drinking grape juice that allows us to be saved. We eat bread and we drink the grape juice in remembrance of what Jesus did for us when he gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. See, it's a simple truth. And it's a saving truth. Listen to what he said in verse 57 through 58. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. In other words, it's a saving truth. That manna that they ate in the wilderness, it was physical. It provided temporary sustenance and health and life. But the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven, it provides eternal life. You know why? Because God in heaven is eternal. He's the living God. Jesus, His Son, is eternal, the Son of God. And those who appropriate Him, those who receive Him into their life, those who trust in His work on the cross of Calvary, are appropriating the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, just like we plan to go and eat lunch and a meal this afternoon and fill ourselves with that meal. Those who fill their spiritual soul and life in faith and trust of what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary, because God is eternal life, because Jesus Himself is eternal life, those who receive Him, guess what? We have eternal life. He is the bread of life. It's just a simple truth. It's saving truth. But folks, as we move to prepare to take the meal, I want you to notice, here's the main thing that I want you to grab before we do so. I want you to notice how in the rest of this chapter, John tells us how people responded to that simple truth. See, there were a lot of professors of faith there that day. There was a crowd that were following Christ, that considered themselves disciples. They were professors of faith. But notice what John tells us here in verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" In other words, who can believe that? Who can receive that? And then down in verse 66, John says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." See, folks, I believe everybody that day was following Christ, but see, that day, many were following Christ because they just happened to be following the crowd who was following Christ. Oh, they considered themselves disciples, and basically a disciple means a learner. But you see, there was a shallow faith in their life. They were looking for somebody that could feed them. They were looking for somebody that would bring peace and prosperity. They were looking for temporary, earthly, worldly things. And when He fed them the day before this message, man, they just knew this had to be Him. Man, we're never going to have to work for food anymore. We're never going to have to endure persecution. And He's going to deal with Rome. And so there were many who were there just following the crowd because you know what? They were looking for a miracle. They were looking for food. They were looking for temporary blessings in life. And folks, I'll just be honest with you today. A lot of folks, they like to hang out with the Jesus crowd because they're just looking for temporary miracles. Oh, they want their finances blessed. They want their health blessed. They want their life happy. They're looking for just things that the bottom line is they're temporary. They're passing. No matter how rich you are, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how well you have it in this life, I don't care how much you've accomplished of the American dream in your life, the bottom line is it's all temporary. It's not going to last. But there's only one thing that does last, and that is eternal life. That is the life that Jesus Christ came to give. So there were many who professed to be followers of Christ, but they didn't receive the true message. They didn't receive the true miracle of salvation. In other words, when he started saying, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, when he was saying things like, if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When he started saying things like that, a lot of people started backing away. And at this moment, many of them left him to follow no more. But then notice what John tells us next. Look what Jesus said. You see, after the message, after the invitation, after the smoke is cleared, the crowd has left, and Jesus looks, and there's just a few left, and he looks in verse 67. He says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? In other words, guys, are you going to leave with them? Are you going to quit following them? And Peter, as he often did, he spoke for the disciples. And he proclaimed this glorious profession of faith. The only thing about Peter was he spoke for everybody because he thought he was, but he didn't realize he wasn't speaking for everybody. See, there were some true possessors of faith there that day. But there was still a pretender. Now notice what Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I love this. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, folks, Peter got the message. He believed that all the other disciples there that day, they had the message. Just like John said when he wrote the Gospel of John at the end, he said, these things have I written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life in His name. It was the same thing that Peter is testifying to here. When Jesus said, you've got to receive me, you've got to eat my flesh, you've got to drink my blood, you've got to receive me and come to me and believe on me if you want to live forever, if you want to have eternal life. And then Jesus looked at them, will you go away also? And Peter says, where shall we go? There's no other one we can go to. You just said it yourself. You're the bread of life. You're the bread come down from heaven. If we don't receive you, if we don't believe you, if we don't trust you, we can't have eternal life. Where can we go? And folks, this morning I would ask you, why would we go to Muhammad? Why would we go to Buddha? Why would we go to Confucius? Why would we go to Joe Smith? Why would we go to Charles Russell? Why would we go to Charles Darwin? Why would we go to Marx? Why would we go to Lenin? Why would we go to anyone and anybody that proclaims a way to God when we have met the only way? When we know Jesus Christ through His messages, through His miracles, through His ministry, through His resurrection from the dead, has declared, I am the bread of life. Folks, this morning, that's why when we gather on Sundays, there's no other message I have for you. There's no other one I can point you to. It says, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there any other name under heaven whereby we might be saved other than the name of Jesus. And then he said, thou hast the words of life. Why? Where can we go? It's Christ alone. Who can we look to
and believe in and trust, because it's your words alone. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And it is the word of God that is the truth that brings conviction of sin and saving grace in our life. So there's no other where to go. There's no other person to go to. There's no other word that brings salvation and transformation that allows us to enter into eternal life. Thou hast the word of God. And so this morning, folks, as every Sunday, I seek to stand before you to proclaim to you what thus saith the word of God. There's a lot of other words out there, but there's only one word that is from God. That is His word, and His living word, the Son, is the only word that brings salvation and eternal life. And then He proclaims, and we believe and are sure. See, it's not just Christ alone. It's not just the Word of God alone. But it is faith. Faith alone. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of sinners. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember, He told them that there's no work. You come, you believe. I do the work. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works. You see, there's no other way for eternal life. There's no other truth that will transform us. There's nothing that can save us. No work that we can do other than faith in the work of God and what He accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. And it is that that transforms our lives, that brings forth this fruit of good works in our life that bring glory and honor to God. And then in verse 70 and verse 71, I can imagine Jesus, He said, will you also go away? And Peter says, oh, where can we go? You have the words. We have believed. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet Jesus, the whole time, He's listening and He's looking at those 12. And He knows, Peter's trying, He's speaking for all of them, because Judas had Peter fooled. Judas had John fooled. But Judas didn't have Jesus fooled. And so I would declare to you this morning that in the midst of a many who profess faith, there are those who possess faith, and there's still those who are pretending faith. And Jesus said in verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. See, again, it doesn't bother me that Jesus says, I've chosen you 12, and yet one of you is the devil. Some people approach that as, there's something wrong with that. But here's what I get from that. Jesus said, I've given all of you, and specifically one of you, every opportunity. And even at the table that last night, He was still at the table. And He offered Himself. Gave Him every opportunity. But not once do we ever read in the Scriptures that Judas professed what Peter professed. He was a pretender. See, the bottom line is, he was just like all the others that had left. He was in it for the advantage, for the temporary blessings. He was looking for meal, but he wasn't looking for eternal life. And so Jesus says, one of you is a devil. Many follow the Lord,
They profess faith. They pretend faith. They're seeking the temporary things rather than the eternal life, the bread of life. And so this morning we must acknowledge the message of the gospel is a hard saying. It's hard to swallow. Because the message of the gospel simply says this: we're all sinners and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God in heaven loved us so much, He came as His Son to die for us, to give His life, His flesh, His blood, to be sacrificed for us, so that if we would receive that, believe that, accept that, trust in that, in repentance of our sin and saving faith, we can receive eternal life. You remember in John 14, verse 6? You remember Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going or how to get there." Jesus said, "Oh, no, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Thomas, I'm the bread of life. You know that. I done told you that. I'm the bread of life. I am the way. There's no other way to heaven but by me. There's no other truth that will save a sinner and transform his life. There's no other source of eternal life other than Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And so this morning, as we come together in profession of our faith, before we take the bread and the cup in remembrance of the bread of life and what Jesus came and did for us on the cross of Calvary, I'm wondering if this morning maybe there might be someone who's pretending faith, who doesn't truly possess faith. They're merely professing faith. What do you want from Jesus? Because I want to tell you, the only thing that will make a difference in your life and eternity is God's saving grace. And so this morning, as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, we have this moment, this invitation, this opportunity to prepare our hearts together at this table. For some, it's just a matter of just acknowledging our sin and calling out to our advocate and confession, knowing He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness as Christians, as believers. But for some, it may be crying out and calling out to Jesus for His saving grace to receive the bread of life this morning. Let's stand together. No hymn of invitation, I guess. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can we play some music softly? Someone go get our pianist. There they come. A little bit early today. All right. As the music's playing, you come this morning as God speaks to your heart.